All right, let's start reading. Chapter 15, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. Every bed whereon he lieth that hath the issue is unclean, and every thing whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that sitteth on anything whereon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that toucheth the flesh of him that hath the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then shall he wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that hath the issue shall be unclean. You get an idea? Everything he touches, everywhere he goes, is going to be unclean because of him. It's going to spread from him to whatever he touches. And then whoever touches what he touches is unclean. Get that? Whoever touches what he touches is unclean. And whosoever touches anything, verse 10, that was under him shall be unclean until the even. And he that beareth any of these things shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And whosoever he toucheth that hath the issue, and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean till the even. And the vessel of earth that he toucheth, which hath the issue, shall be broken. And every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. Nobody drinks after him. Anything he drinks out of or eats out of, it's got to be, if it's pottery made out of earth, it's got to be broken, destroyed. If it's a wooden thing, it has to be washed with water. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. Does this sound familiar to what we've been talking about the leper and all of that? And on the eighth day he shall take to him 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. All right. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. This verse says, Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So, in this chapter, we've got another example here, another illustration of the nature of sin. We've talked about the leper, how to identify him. We've talked about the leper and his cleansing after he's healed from the leprosy that God had healed him from. Now we've got this other thing, an issue. That's the example and the illustration that God uses here is the issues of the body and how they contaminate others and the environment around us. Well, now that shouldn't be hard for you to understand. If somebody spits on you, you feel defiled, don't you? If somebody sneezes on you, you feel defiled, don't you? If somebody bleeds on you, you feel defiled. There's all kinds of ways to be defiled. About any way with stuff from somebody else. Yeah. An issue. Issue is a word that we don't use commonly now in the same sense that the Bible does here. Now, we understand this. I mean, we do use it this way in a lot of things, but commonly we say, well, she's got an issue. Well, that ain't what we're talking about. There's some matter that's got her upset or something she's mad about, he mad about. I mean, if somebody's got an issue, we think, well, they just got a problem. You know, they're upset about something. They're fighting with somebody. That's the way we take it. But now when the Bible talks about people having an issue, that ain't what it's meaning at all. Here's the definition of the word issue. It's the act of passing or flowing out. A moving out of any enclosed place. It issues out. A spring issues water. That's the way it is. Issues a word that means ascending out. Like, you issue an order. You issue a check, or somebody issues a check. Now, that's a better deal if they issue you a check. But what does that mean? That the check's coming. It came from them to you. Issue is a moving out, flowing out. It's a, sometimes a policeman will issue you a ticket. And that ain't fun, is it? You don't like that either, do you? You get issued a license by the License Bureau or whatever it is, the Missouri Department of Revenue or whatever, I don't know what they call themselves. Is it the DMV they call it here? Department of Motor Vehicles, there you go. They issue you a license. It also means your progeny, your children, your offspring issue, because they came from you. Now, you just got to understand that. That's the whole deal here. This is an illustration, an example of the nature of sin. Where does it come from? Well, most people think it's in your DNA. I mean, the Baptists have drilled it until a lot of people think that. They think, well, I'm born with it and it's in my blood. Your blood's sinful, or your flesh is sinful, and it's somewhere, it's in there. They don't know how to separate it or how to identify it, but it's in there. No, that's not how it is at all. There are moral issues and there are physical issues. Don't get them mixed up. Moral issues affect the physical. They are manifested in the physical. Moral issues are. But morality, sin, is not a substance. It's not a physical thing. It's a moral issue and it's a spiritual issue that affects physical life. Most certainly does. But it's not the physical thing. You're not a sinner because your daddy and mother had sinful blood. It's the most ridiculous, blasphemous thing that you can teach somebody, but they're teaching it everywhere, and that's what most people believe. But it's not true. And it ain't no wonder that churches are in such a mess and people are in such a lost, blind, confused condition, because the very foundational things that you must understand have been all muddied up and muddled up by foolish people who just don't know how to study and think and find out the truth, and they don't care to. It's a lot easier to just blame your wicked heart on your sinful flesh, or the fact that you can't help it because you was born that way. Well, when you face God, you're going to find that's a lame excuse that won't hold no water with God. Right. You're going to be found guilty before God. So, the meaning, as if it weren't clear enough from the text that we read there, and from the rest of this chapter, that when it's speaking of a man or a woman having an issue, it's that which comes out of their body. All right, the body's the tent we live in, the tabernacle. That's what it is. It's just what we live in. It's what we experience life in this physical world with is our body. It's made out of dust. And when your soul leaves your body in death, the body will return to the dust, because that's what it is. Dust thou art, and unto the dust thou shalt return. It's your body is dust. And dust has no moral issue about it at all. No. And the moral things come from the heart, Jesus said. It's out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and all of that stuff. Out of the heart. So, these issues that are here as an illustration and an example of sin, they're what come out of us. These were There were physical reasons for this law of God, which has to do with cleanness and sanitation. You got at least 2.5 million children of Israel living in the desert, all in close quarters, all around each other, and all their animals, and a lot of times no water. And so there's a need for cleanliness. Yeah. Or they all going to die. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. So this law applied to that. God can do that. He can say some words and they apply here, and they apply here, and they apply here. It works in every situation because it's the Word of God. He doesn't have to have a separate law for this and a separate law for that and a separate book for this. He can tell you one thing and it covers it all. Just obey Him. Just follow the principles and the guidelines that He lays down for you, and you'll do a whole lot better. So, with millions of Israelites living in close contact in the wilderness for 40 years, there had to be some laws to deal with sanitary matters, or they never would have survived. Ain't no doubt about it. And all of these things that He talks about washing with water and staying away, and if you touch this and if you touch that, it's unclean, it's unclean. He told them everything that was unclean, be careful with it. Wash. If you get it on you, wash. And stay away from everybody else. Until the next day, give it time to get off of you and don't be spreading it around. That's before they even knew about germs or anything else. We was reading this morning and I seen there are planets in the Old Testament in the book of Kings. Ain't that where we're at? 2 Kings, I think. Or are we in 1 Kings? I don't remember. Anyway, one of them, he mentioned planets. I didn't think they knew about planets until they got telescopes where they could see them. Bible was way ahead of them on that, but anyway. But the more important application of these laws were concerning the purity and the cleanliness of the soul. These are laws that illustrate and show and give us an example of the nature of sin. Now stay with me. All that's mentioned applies equally to the pollution of sin and how it spread to others through the issues of people. These issues that people had from their body were unclean. And it affected other people. I mean, it spread the uncleanness to them. Amen. This is a hard one to deal with because I understand very clearly. It's very clear to me. You know, when people are unclean, they just don't care about nothing. You know, when I was little, I don't know that we were the cleanest in the world because of the way we lived and everything. But man, you could have beat me with a belt and I would have, before I'd have touched anything, my brother had his mouth on. That's right. That's right. I knew how nasty they were. And they felt the same way about me. Gag. Don't bother people anymore, you know. I mean, I've seen kids take chewing gum out of somebody's mouth and put it in theirs and chew it. I've seen them eat off of forks and spoons and everything. They don't make no difference whatsoever. Just lick the same sucker. Take a sucker out of a kid's mouth and put it in your mouth. And it just gags me to think about stuff like that, but a lot of people don't bother them at all. That's why God's talking to these people like that. You know, you better get some idea about what can happen to you when you have no rules, no guidelines, no lines drawn about cleanliness and mixing with other people and what you do with other people and how you touch other people and handle and eat and lick the things other people do. That's how people get sick. Do you understand why you get sick when you go to Taco Bell and these other places and eat that stuff and then you've got diarrhea for a week? Do you know why that is? Do you know how that happens? Because the guys and the girls that are working in the kitchen went to the bathroom and they didn't wash their hands after they came out of the bathroom, and they used the same hands that they used to clean themselves in the bathroom on your food. And you ate it and now you got diarrhea. That's how it works. You swallowed their issue. And you got sick. All right, that's physical. Sin works the same way. There's no substance about it. It's not a substance. It's not a physical thing. It's a moral thing. It's a spiritual thing. You listen to what they say. You listen to what issues out of a perverted mind. You listen to what. And you put it in your mind and you start rolling it around and thinking about it. What they say about different subjects and things, and you swallow their issue. You take it into yourself and then you become what they are. You get the same thing in your mind they got in their mind. You get the same thing in your heart they got in their heart. And that's what this is all about right here. All that's mentioned applies equally to the pollution of sin and how it's spread to others through the issues of people. Although sin is not a physical thing that can be spread like germs and viruses and bacteria, it's still very contagious according to the Word of God. We don't become sinners because it is some physical substance in our blood or our DNA, but because of our contact with the issues of sinners. That's right. This little baby that Elizabeth's fixing to have ain't never heard a word. I mean, she hears. Sure she does. But she's never heard a profane word. She's never saw a profane image. She's never been angry and had other people be angry. She's never been around anything that's sinful. There's nothing in her that would make her have sinful thoughts, do sinful things. She knows nothing. So everything that she learns when she comes into this world, she's going to learn it from somebody else. Every word of the language, she's going to learn it from somebody else. Mostly you, too. And the rest of us that are around her. Every little mannerism, every little attitude, they're going to learn. And they pick it up very well. Now, you've had children long enough, you figured that out, ain't you? They watch all of us. And they learn. And they learn the bad things first, seems like. Seems like those are the spiciest things, and that's what they go for first. Issues are what come out of us. It's our influence on other people. What comes out of us, out of our heart, through our mouth. See how the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what comes out of us. Our words, our attitudes, our feelings toward other people. That's what comes out of us. How does it affect other people? That's the issues of our life. See, I had the verse. And I didn't write it down, but I got it in my mind. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now you get it now. It's not the matters of life, it's the issues of life. Out of the heart is what comes everything that affects everybody around you. Your children, your spouse, the people you go to church with, the people you work with, every person you meet in your life. You have an effect on them by what comes out of you. And everybody you meet, and everybody you get close to, everybody you have any dealings with, everybody that you get any kind of a relationship with, they affect you. Their issues affect you. You never get over it. It's better to not lay on that bed they've laid on than to lay on that bed and then have to wash and wash your clothes and then wait and hope it goes away. Don't go away. Germs, you might kill them. Viruses, you might overcome them. But The effects of sin? No. It's there. Whatever issues you get from somebody else, you got them. You're going to keep them too. Yes, sir. The effect on you is going to be everlasting. So, ought to be careful, don't you think? The issues mentioned in this chapter are such as what are... But they're unknown to everybody except you. They're secret. These issues that he names in this chapter, we didn't read the rest of them because it's just not something that you just read in public now. So it's the Bible. Yep, it's the Bible, but God's plain talking. Sometimes even plainer than this. But they're all things that other people don't know about. They're hidden things. See? Don't just think of this as... You see somebody and, oh, look at that, man. It's running all over him. Oh, that gross. That's sick. Don't think of it like that. They can look as pretty as they can be on the outside, as clean as they can be on the outside, and have an issue that you don't see. They know. They know about it. But you don't. It's hidden. It's secret. Therefore, they got to refer to these things that God mentions here. They must refer to secret sins or things that we know about ourselves that other people don't know. Well, that's hard, ain't it, right there? It proves that a person can be a great sinner in his heart secretly, while appearing to be clean and a holy person on the outside. Always confuses everybody when somebody that they thought was a Christian and they thought was a preacher and they thought was even somebody, and then he goes off the deep end. The immorality and sin, and they think, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Well, I understand. He had an issue. And he knew about it, but the rest of us didn't. Sometimes you can smell it. Sometimes you can see it leaking through. If you're watching, and if you got some sense about you, but if you're just lollygagging through life and everybody's good and all these are good people, like Dorothy told me the other day, you can get fooled real easy. You ain't gonna know what's happened to you. So it's specifically called here in the beginning of the chapter a running issue, not just an issue, a running issue. Well, that just simply means that it's a continuous thing, not an occasional thing. It's something that's going on all the time. It's a steady, continual thing. The issues mentioned here are too loathsome to mention, and they're too hideous to read in public. And these are what God chose to show us how abominable even our secret sin is in His sight. Now think about that. He didn't say a boil. He didn't say a zit or a pimple. You know, he didn't say nothing like that. He used these things that just make you go, ooh. Why'd he do that? So you'd take it seriously. So you'd understand how he views the stuff that we're talking about here. How he views the issues of sinners. Their effect. How they affect people. What's coming out of them affects other people. That's how God feels. He wants you to know how He feels about it. How He looks at it. What He feels when He looks upon this. You may laugh at the sinner's issues. You may enjoy it. You may take part in it and do it with them. But you need to understand how God looks at it. He don't look at it as no fun thing, no pleasant thing. No good activity. The defilement of sin is the leading thought in this chapter. Now, that's what this main thought of this chapter is the defilement of sin. How it defiles, makes unclean, pollutes, runs. You know, we got a lot of flies flying around this time of year, you know. You got to watch, like if you eat, drinking a glass of tea or a cup of coffee. Did you ever get a fly in your coffee? Yes. It's disgusting, ain't it? How many of you want to just keep on drinking it? Yeah. Just hold your teeth together and just keep drinking it and don't let him. I've always been told, well, he won't drink much. Well, I don't care how much he drinks. That nasty thing's in my coffee and he ruined it. Ruined it. Ruined it. Yeah. You know, what if somebody come up and spit in it? Would you just say, eh, that's all right, it won't hurt it. Drink it anyway. Would you? Yeah. Nope. Nope, 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 nope. You need to understand that the main thing here he's teaching us is that sin defiles. Being around sinners defiles us. Yes. You can't have a pure heart and run with sinners. Yes, can't have a pure heart, a pure mind, and walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Can't do it. Everyone and everything that came into contact with the person with the running issue was defiled and made unclean. Everybody touched anything he laid on, sat on, rode on, anything that was under him, anything he drank out of, ate out of, if he sneezed on him, breathed on him really, or spit on him, that he was defiled. You had to go wash your clothes, take a bath, and wait till leaving, you're unclean. Don't get around nobody else, or they'll get it too. You're unclean. You're defiled. You got nastiness on you. You stink. You're poison. Stay away from everybody. See? We don't take sin that serious, do we? We can listen to their profane jokes and their profane talk, and we can look at their profane images, and we can watch their profane movies, and we can do all of that, and it don't affect us. We just laugh it off. We feel good about it because we're just like, you know, we fit in good. We're not oddballs. We're not weirdos. We're not a cult or something. We're just like everybody else. If anybody touched anything he'd laid on, sat on, ate or drank out of, spit or sneezed on, he was unclean also. And any bed that he lay on, any chair or saddle that he sat on, anything he drank out of was defiled and unclean. That's what it said. The bed's defiled. The bed's unclean. The saddle's unclean. The chair's unclean. The vessel's unclean. Just because he touched it. I mean, it really gets kind of narrow here if you're listening and you're thinking. But people now, they don't have any problem. They can't see what in the world's wrong with going out to these big events where all the world's at, just to slopping their beer and their filthy profanity and their nakedness and all of their talk and ungodliness, and you can just elbow right in the middle of them and have a wonderful time. And take a church group too down there and let them have it. Ain't going to hurt nobody. It's just a good time. Don't see no problem with it at all. Don't see no problem with having taken part in anything of the world. That's gone, boy. That's gone. Nobody's teaching anything anymore. That's right. It's like the wedding we was talking about, you know. You go to a wedding, it's supposed to be holy matrimony. It's all about God and God's design for a man and woman to get married and all that. And the music, there ain't nothing said about all that, really. And the music's honky-tonk, beer-drinking, fornicating song. And it don't mean a thing. Don't bother nobody. Everybody just enjoys it. Where, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do? Well, you just keep on preaching the truth. That's what you do. And you keep on living clean and having a pure heart and a pure mind in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You just keep on doing it. You just stay faithful to what's right and true. And you keep washing your clothes. You keep bathing yourself. And stay away from it. And don't touch it. And don't let it touch you. And don't let them spit on you. You got to be pretty close for them to spit on you. If anybody touched the flesh of the person with the issue, he was unclean and defiled. Anything that was under him was defiled. So the application here is that we must be very careful about everything we touch or allow to touch us in this sinful world around us. Laugh if you want to. Just mock if you want to. Shake it off as foolishness if you want to. And we won't have to wait long to see what happens to you when you get out there in the world amongst all the issues that's coming out of everybody out there. Everything is defiled around us in this wicked world, and we'll be defiled by being around it. Used to, even liberal Baptists preached separation from the world. They're just things that a child of God doesn't do, doesn't participate in, places he doesn't go. Whether you understand it or not, whether you can get your little mind to figure it out or not. When people that are older and wiser and much more experienced than you, generation after generation, and they've said, that's bad, it's what not for a Christian. And then you come along and say, well, I don't see what's wrong with it. Something wrong with you.
That's right.
All them people wasn't wrong. All them generations wasn't wrong. They wasn't all stupid people that didn't understand anything. They were good people and moral people and knowledgeable people in the Word of God. And they'd figured some things out. And the last few generations have just thrown it all to the wind, and look what we got. We need to go back to the old ways and seek the old paths, for there's where the good way is, the Bible says. But we're just like them. There's like them people back in. They said, we ain't going to do it. We will not walk therein. So to keep a pure heart, we got to stay clear of the issues of sinners. What comes out of a sinner? Anyway, what comes out of the sinners of this world? All right, I'm going to hurt. Their humanistic and carnal philosophies, for one thing. Their ways of thinking and reasoning are the number one thing that issues forth from them. They all got a mouth as big as a hippopotamus, and they got a mind as big as a green pea, but they got a lot to say. And they're all philosophers, and they all theologians, and they're all philosophers, and they got it all figured out. That's the number one thing that issues out of them. Foolishness that they want to call wisdom. Unbelievable foolishness. Every once in a while I read things like, you know, they're just bound and determined. They're going to prove to us there's aliens out there. And it just absolutely amazes me how far they will reach and stretch to believe absolute nonsense. They're looking with their telescopes. And how many of you have heard about these alien megastructures they think are out there? There's some stars, and they're just finding more and more of them. They fade, and then they get brighter, and then they fade. So they think they've figured out what's causing it. You know what it is? Alien megastructures. These aliens, they showed an illustration of it, and what it is, you got your star like the sun, which is, we can't even comprehend how big the sun is.
Right.
But these aliens, they did. They've built this web thing all around their star so that when it rotates, it's got like bars. And that's what's making that star flicker like that. It's in bars as it's turning, and we're looking at it, and then bars are going in front of us. And these are the brightest they've got. These are the best they've got. The smartest, most educated, most philosophical people they've got. That's what they come up with. That's an issue. It's an issue as defiling and polluting as the stuff that he talked about in this chapter here. This is the number one thing that has defiled and polluted the people in the churches who profess to be Christians. They watch Discover. They watch the National Geographic. They watch all of this stuff that they put on there. And I've never seen one yet in my life that they don't talk about the earth being millions of years old. And they deny. I've never heard one that didn't deny the Word of God. Every one of them. But people will not stop watching because it's just so interesting. And it's just so fascinating what these people got to say. You're swallowing the issues of sinners that is rotten, filthy, defiled, and you're defiled by it. You don't know why these kids don't believe God, ain't got no fear of God, and ain't worried about going to hell and all this? Because of that junk. They've swallowed the issues of the sinners of this world. And they're polluted with it. They've got it just like they got. They got what they got. They caught it. Their schools and colleges and universities. That's what they're full of. That's the only reason they exist, is to try to destroy any faith in God and any obedience or submission to the law of God. To try to erase all understanding of truth. That's what they're all about. Yes. Didn't used to be. Harvard was started as a school for preachers. So was Yale. So all those colleges in England and in the United States were started to train preachers of the gospel. And now look what they've turned into. What happened to them? Issues. Yeah, there was issues, and nobody paid no attention to it. They didn't read the book of Leviticus, and they didn't understand this right, and so they didn't pay no attention. They weren't careful at all. They just rubbed shoulders. Next thing you know, the sinners are actually in the school teaching. They're running the place with their issues. Talk shows on radio and TV. I'm talking about. What comes out of the sinners of this world? This is where their issues are. If you want to see what comes out of them, look at these things. Here's where their issues are spraying everywhere, running everywhere, oozing everywhere. Their songs and their music that are the essential part of this popular culture. They ain't no popular culture without their popular music. That's one of their issues, is their music. It's defiled and poisoned and rotten. Amen. Amen. It sure is. That's all they sing about, is filth and evil. I just don't think a song about fornicating is appropriate for a wedding. No. I just don't think it is. I don't think it's appropriate for anything. Why in the world, how in the world can a Christian who says he loves God and loves the Word of God and tries to have a pure heart and a pure mind sing a fornicating song? Song about fornicating. I mean, plain out. Or adultery. Or drinking. Or all of it at once. Most of them are, it's all in there. They cover all the bases with most of them. Well, I just like that old country music. I just like them old guys. You ever listen to the words? What do you think Jesus thinks about you listening to it? How you think he would look at you while you're sitting there smiling and enjoying that music while they're singing about defying him? And breaking it. While they're singing about defying his law that he told you to keep. And he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And you're singing about not keeping them. Well, how many churches is the preacher preaching anything like that now? If the preachers would start preaching about it, some people would get right. A bunch of those fornicators and sinners with their issues would leave, but that would be a good thing for the church. We'd be a whole lot better off. And the church would have much more influence if it wasn't no more than what we got here in every church, but if they was just right. There are news networks and organizations that ply our minds every day. It's the issues of sinners. That's what they're doing. So what's coming out of them? What is news now? Well, it's major news now. What was that thing I seen the other day? Is it a woman that, I know what it was. She got married and had a wedding. Well, she had a guy come to be a DJ at her wedding, and he was way older than her, twice her age. She's like 25 and he's 49. Well, she ended up divorcing the guy she married and married the DJ. That's national news. I mean, that's front page Fox News. They're trying to impeach the president. The whole world's about to blow up. I mean, the Middle East is about on fire. And, you know, murder's on every place. And everything's in the state it's in. And that is news. Now, why? 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 Why is half of it pornography on the news? National Enquirer, that's what it used to be. Now, all the news networks, that's what they do. Issues of sinners. Amen. Be better off not watch any of it. I'll tell you the truth. It's like Lester Roloff when he was preaching When the Mule Walked On, or The Day God Hung a Hippie. Remember that message? And a tornado came and blew the tent away while he was having an invitation. He was preaching in that message, and that's what he was saying. He said, you preacher, he said, read your newspaper every morning. He said, how in the world can you have a clean mind and a pure heart while you're filling it with all that trash? When are you going to stop it? That's why he was preaching when that tornado came. He was right. Oh, we could just go on and on and on here. These are all issues of sinners and ungodly people which defile and pollute the minds of all who come in contact with them. See, issue. You got the word issue. You know what it means. It's what's coming out of them. It's what's oozing out of them. It's what they're spitting all over the place. All over everybody else. Their constant flow. Their running issue of profane and sensual and immoral and enticements to sin. Mostly through advertisements. Have you ever noticed that? That's where most of it is at. You can talk about their shows and their programs and their dramas and all that. They got it there. But most of it's through their advertisements that we can't get away from. Can't get away from. They're going to force it on you. You're going to swallow this. They're going to spit it on you. They're going to pour it on you. They're going to rub it on you. They're going to do it, get it on you somehow. I've noticed more and more, you know, I've had ad blockers on my thing forever. Pretty good. But now you can't hardly go anywhere. They say they'll just put a thing up there and block you. If you don't turn your ad blocker off, you can't read it. I just say, bye. I don't have to read this. And I don't have to read your stinking advertisements and look at your filthy, profane advertisements. I don't want your junk. And I don't need to look at that or hear that. But it's mostly through advertisements, which they hope to get your money out of your pocket into theirs and enslave you with the junk they're selling you.
That's right. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Everything's fixed up to hook you. So you'll, you know, like if you order on Amazon now, you got to be careful because it's a repeat thing. If you order batteries or anything that's perishable or, you know, renewable item like that you need often, they'll fix it up where they just mail them to you every month or whatever. You got to uncheck it or you're signing up. They got you. Everything's automatic debit. Everything, you know, they want to fix it so that they can just keep sending it to you whether you ask for it or not, whether you want it or not. Did you ever try to get loose from one of them things once they get that hook in you? They fix it up so you can't contact them no way. You can go through their website. You can call their phone. You ain't going to talk to nobody about canceling it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a trap. And That's what all these advertisements are about. They're trying to get your money and trying to enslave you. And in order to do it, they'll lay that bait out there for you. Also, through movies and videos, which are always means, listen to me, of transmitting information or persuading you to believe something that you don't believe or that you've never heard of yet. That's what all the videos are about. That's what all of these things are about. They're about persuading you. They're about changing you. They're about working on your mind and putting some information in there that you ain't got or that you never heard of. And getting you to agree with them. Getting you to believe like them. Getting you to be like them. It's issues. And boy, it's contagious and it'll get you. They know if they can just get you to look at it. They know if they can just get you to listen to it. All they need to do is just put a question in your mind. Just put a question mark about what you believe, what you've thought, what you are, what you do, what you want. That's all I got to do is just stir a little curiosity. And I got you. There are constant challenges to the truths of God. We're talking about the issues of sinners. Constant challenges to the truths of God. From creation to matters of morality, to disputing the authority of the Bible. That's all you'll hear out of them. How many sinners have you met up with that disagree with you about what's right and wrong? And what the Bible says? And if the Bible's the Word of God, how many of them say, oh, I believe that, I'm with you. Yeah. No, more often you'll hear their arguments, their disputes. That's an issue of sinners. And you think you're tough enough to stand it. You think you're sound enough, strong enough, settled enough in the faith, you can take it. Well, you probably ain't. But let me tell you something. There's children around you. There's other people around you that are weaker, and they're going to be affected by it. If you get it, they're going to get it. Because you ain't even going to know you got it. If you're that careless. If you won't even face the fact that sinners have issues, and if you don't stay away from it, they're going to get it. If you don't even realize that and you won't even acknowledge that, you're going to go around polluted all the time and everybody around you is going to be polluted. The issues God chose to refer to in this chapter have to do with the matter of relations between men and women. And because the main pillar of morality rests on that matter. Now, I've said this to you before, but you need to understand that. The matter of relationships, I'm talking about sexual relationships between men and women, that is the pillar of morality. You knock that down, everything else falls. Sure. Ain't no moral issue, ain't no morals when that's gone. That's how it happened. Right before our eyes, in my lifetime, I've watched it happen. The 60s brought on the free love, they called it. That ain't, wasn't love. Hippies living like dogs and cats. That ain't love. That's filthy immorality. They called it love and everybody took the bait. And so now anything goes. Anything. Now it's almost illegal for you to say anything negative about a sodomite, a transvestite, a transsexual, whatever in the world they all are. They ain't, how many more letters are they going to put on that LBTGT? Blah, 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 blah. How many more letters can they put in there? I can't remember them all now. And I wouldn't if they, I don't even want to know or remember them. One word fits them all. They're a bunch of sodomites. And they don't like that word. They know about Sodom. But since all that is okay, then what is wrong now? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. What used to be right. Being a Christian. Believing some things. Living clean. Raising your children to be godly people. That's wrong. Disciplining your children is wrong. Everything good, used to be good, is now wrong. because everything that's used to be wrong is okay now. They've thrown, and it started with that. Started right there. God laid down the moral law about that matter very, very clearly. And we all know, everybody knows, but no, there's no shame anymore because that's been knocked down. When God's moral law in that matter is ignored, all the rest of the moral law ceases to have any meaning. When we need to bathe often and we need to wash our clothes in this world full of corruption. You listen to me? I'm quitting here. Need to bathe often. The Word of God is the water we need to wash our heart and mind. And it ain't just a miracle thing. It ain't just a gimmick thing. It's not just a thing where you can read a few pages in your Bible and it cleans your mind. No, you got to read it with understanding. You've got to apply it. You've got to meditate on it. It's got to be in the forefront of your mind to have a clean mind. You can't just have your Bible reading 10 minutes in the morning and then the rest of the day it's everything else. You got a dirty mind. Polluted. The Word of God has to be in the forefront of everything in your mind. Now that's how you wash your mind. That's how you clean your mind with the water. If you want to stay clean in a world full of sinners with issues, you're going to have to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Is that so hard to do? Well, if you don't, it's hard in the fact that you got to apply yourself to do it. But once you start getting some joy out of it, it's not so hard to do. We've got to wash our clothes in the Word of God. And if we do that, you know, I have run out of time because I wanted to deal with this a little bit. But I mean, if we wash our minds and hearts with the Word of God, then our clothes are going to look different too. Yes. Than all the world around us. Our clothes will show it. Our clothes will show that our mind and heart are clean. Yeah. Woman ain't going to walk around showing her nakedness, wearing a dress plumb up, you know, her pants or what do you call them? These leggings. Walking around naked. Yeah. Might as well just be naked. You ain't going to do that. If your heart's clean. Amen. Ain't going to tell me no different. I ain't stupid. I know better than that. Amen. You can't do that. You can't just walk around showing your nakedness and have a clean heart and a clean mind. You are polluted and you got issues. You better believe it.
Yes, sir.
And your issues get all over other people. They affect other people. Well, see, to wear the clothes that came from some defiled and polluted mind is to be defiled ourselves. You know, I can't believe it. I'd study it out, ladies. If some sodomite gay guy over in Italy or France or wherever designed some dress or suit or whatever, I wouldn't wear it. If it was as modest as it could be, I wouldn't wear it because it come from him. But they don't do that, you know, too much. Y'all, how many of you ever read that deal about the bikini and how that started back in the 40s? And they, you know, they couldn't find a woman to wear it in the advertisements because it was nakedness. Couldn't find a woman. So they finally got a stripper, I guess, a stripper to do it. And now you are flat stupid. What is wrong with you if you think anything's wrong with it? Well, if we come to church and all the women just had on their underwear, would you have a problem with that? Well, that's hypocrisy. If you think that it's okay if there's any water around, But it's wrong in any other situation, then you're just a foolish, ignorant hypocrite. What's the matter with you? I can't believe it. These guys and their teenage daughters and their wives and let them do that and don't think nothing of it. Would you go to the grocery store dressed in your underwear? less than underwear. I mean, it ain't anymore. It ain't even underwear. Oh, well, I'm chasing rabbits here. We need to be reminded often of the blood that cleanses us from all sin and that was shed as an atonement for our sins. We need to be reminded often of that. We can only stay clean in this filthy world and keep our hearts pure by the water and the blood. The same elements that were involved in the cleansing of the leper. You wash, you bathe your body, you wash your clothes with water. And then when it was all done, if they had an issue and it stopped, then we read there what he had to do. Had to go make the sacrifice. The blood was shed. And the water. The water and the blood. It's the only way you can stay clean in this world. You need to keep it fresh before your mind what was done for you. I mean, the blood that was shed for your sin. Amen. To make you clean. To deliver you from that filthy defilement and pollution. And then the Word of God that keeps us clean. Yes. Need to keep it. That's the only way. The only way. If we just kick back and go floating down the river and leave all that out of our mind, if we don't focus on it and keep it fresh in our mind, then we're just going to be defiled. We'll be just like them. So foolish for people to teach religion and doctrine that, boy, you just make your profession of faith and we'll baptize you and then you're saved. I mean, you're going to heaven no matter what. Gary said some things in Sunday school this last Sunday about that, about what things the preacher had said about it. And then no matter what, you can stop believing. You can never come to church again and you're still going to heaven. Yeah, you could burn your Bible and you'd still go to heaven. Telling people is supposedly just got saved. That's the first instruction. You can burn your Bible and you still go to heaven. Well, yes, more than a fool. It's wicked, very wicked. Ain't that way at all. You're in a filthy, sin-cursed, sin-filled world. The septic tank of the universe. And you're floating in it. You better know how to bathe yourself, wash your clothes, and purify your heart and your mind and keep them that way. How you going to do it? Well, you got to be very careful about the issues of sinners.
Yes, true.
Better be careful. Think about it. Remember this. When you're watching, when you're listening, when you're letting them talk to you, when you're letting them reason with you, when you're letting them entertain you, think about it. What are they doing to you? What are you getting on yourself? What are you getting in yourself? I'm immune to everything. Well, maybe you may, even if you were, what about your kids? What about some weak brother around you?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. All right, well, let's stand. Oh, it's so true. Help us, Lord. Bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the wisdom that's in these scriptures right here. Please help us to understand this. Please help us all, me included, Lord. I'm praying for myself. Help me to watch this matter and to be very careful and to cut it off and to keep myself away from it and to not let them do this to me anymore. Help us, Lord, to keep ourselves clean in this unclean world. You've given us the means to do it. You've showed us how. You've given us what we need. And I pray you'd help us to be obedient and faithful to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.